These days, more and more American adults are single. What does the Bible say about singleness? In what special ways can a single person glorify God? On the other hand, many of us will spend most of our lives married. In marriage, we experience some of our highest highs and our lowest lows. We love and we create. We fight and we struggle. Yet through it all, marriage is God's idea. He is the one who can help any marriage improve. And when any marriage gets better, everybody wins. Let us return to 1 Corinthians to find God's design for singleness and marriage.
Well, good morning, everybody. I want to just tell you a story about my day on Friday. Friday, I got up and I did something I very rarely do. I drove out to the town where I went to college, and I met a college friend. We had gotten to be really good friends during those school years. We actually lived together for a summer as part of a kind of a mission project. But after college, our lives really went different directions, and we haven't had a whole lot of contact. And he was back in the area, so we set up this time and got together. And as we were there, kind of catching one another up, there were some marked differences in our lives. As you know, I got married, and it turns out my friend did not. And we have three kids, and they're kind of on their way to being young adults, and my friend has no kids. And we began to think about what it's like for people in my situation and what it's like for people in his situation to just be in church in our culture. He's very involved in his church. And we thought, you know, there seems like there can be a lot of language and events around marriage and family. And he said, you know, it sometimes seems like there's not that much language and events and stuff around people who are single. And we began to think about that together and say, is that really what God intended? You know, it's just a fact that the percentage of adults that are single in our culture is on the increase. And there are a lot of reasons for that. And it's kind of a simple thing, but, you know, every adult you meet is either going to be single or married. And so, you know, we ought to be thinking maybe about both of those in some kind of balance. In fact, we get Christianity Today in our home, and the recent issue of Christianity Today reviews a book, and it's called One by One, and it's the story of welcoming singles into your church. And this author does a pretty good job of talking about the experience of a single Christian adult in a church in North America. And it turns out that singles can sometimes get conflicting and sometimes even humorous advice right at church. Someone even told me today, if you're single, hide your crazy for a while. Like if you're in a relationship, don't let that crazy part of you come out. You got to hide part of yourself for a while. And this book reports that sometimes singles kind of feel judged as incomplete in the life of the church. More than one friend has actually told me that when they were single, they were sat down by a pastor, and the pastor said to them, I think it's time that you got married. As if that's where that decision would be made. Others have implied that people would be better at ministry if they were just married, if they just had a family. Sometimes people assume that everyone wants to get married, or that God wants everyone to get married, or that God wants to use this person to be sure that everybody gets married. Have you ever met that kind of a person? The matchmaker ministry never shows up on the website, but someone's doing that ministry, it seems, in almost every church. Sometimes singles hear people say out loud, maybe you need to just put yourself out there a little bit more. Right here at church. Or sometimes they will hear, hey, God will bring someone along just as soon as you stop looking. As if it should be all God and none of you. Sometimes there are single ministries and they seem to focus so much on getting people married that it seems like the goal is to marry people right out of the ministry, you know? At a certain age, some single people feel they don't really fit in the singles ministry, and they wonder where in the life of the church they should connect next. Some people have even told me, as I talked with a number of Christian adult singles, that sometimes people even would assume that a person's homosexual just because they're not married And they have some good, healthy, godly friendships with people of the same sex. All this can lead a single Christian adult to wonder, hey, am I a second-class citizen in my church? Does the simple fact that I'm an adult and I haven't gotten married, does that make me second best? It turns out that God has something to say about that. So if you're a high school student or maybe a college-age student, and maybe you're wondering if marriage will kind of complete you, let me just tell you, no, it doesn't. Marriage will complicate you. It will not complete you. If you're complicated already, it'll be really complicated. I'm not making this up. There is a role for singleness in a Christian life. It's my conviction that sometimes we have trouble in marriage because we didn't have enough time as singles. That sometimes, and I'm not down on marriage, and there's lots to commend marriage, and we've been talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But sometimes it's almost like this itch or this rush, like I got to get married because that's going to make me whole. Marriage doesn't make you whole. Jesus makes you whole. And I'm not saying never get married, but I'm saying sometimes I think people have married prematurely, maybe even married the person they should marry, but maybe married too early in a way that if they had remained single and allowed God to work through the dimensions of singleness. What I'm trying to say is singleness is not all bad. Singleness is not second best. It is not second class. Singleness is deeply used of God. Don't be afraid of being a Christian single. God loves Christian singles and works in that time, works in that space. If you're single and you're wondering if there's a place for you among God's people, this message is for you. If you were married and you're sitting here and you're thinking, oh my gosh, this suddenly applies to me. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you've gone through a death or abandonment. Maybe you are single not because of your own choosing. You never wrote it as a goal or put it on the calendar, but it's kind of happened. This message is for you because there's a ministry of the body of Christ to you. There's a place for you. And to get at this, if you have your Bible, would you please join me in going to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're walking through the book of 1 Corinthians this year, and I just love this book. Some people call it First Californians because it so reflects some of the things going on in our very culture. And some of the things that are behind the choice to study this book, simply the fact that there are times and ways in which our culture aligns with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's awesome. And there are times and ways in which it doesn't. And friends, we need to be discerning. We need to be able to think clearly about the Word of God and the culture in which we live and realize that sometimes our culture is not our friend. Sometimes our culture doesn't love us. Well, 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 4, we walk through that. That's really a place where Paul talks about the peril of being overly dependent on one or another spiritual leader in the life of a church. And then chapters 5 and 6 talk about the reality of sexual immorality in the first century, and it's very similar to sexual immorality in the 21st century. And now in chapter 7, we're talking about singleness and marriage. And for this sermon, I was so helped by reflections from a pastor in Illinois named Stuart Ruck and from many generous comments of many different Christian single adults that I talked with. Now, when 1 Corinthians was written in the first century, Corinth obviously in Greece, Greek parents actually arranged for the marriage of their children. How many people like to bring that back? You say, I could just handle this. I'd like to take that on. Not so many hands over here on the younger side of our room. The Corinthians were kind of asking, hey, if life is so hard and there's all these things that we're talking about in this letter, maybe it would be better not to marry at all. And Paul says, look, because of the present crisis, and it's tough for commentators to figure out exactly what that present crisis is, I think it's good for a man to remain as he is. So the principle here is stay as you are. Now, above our passage in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 7, Paul wrote, I wish that all of you were as I am. And we know that Paul was single. Don't forget that. But each of you, he wrote, has your own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. Paul viewed singleness as a gift. And in the context of any gift, we have to remember the supreme gift, which is the Holy Spirit. No one has ever been gifted the gift of singleness apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. So just check this out as we look through Scripture. In Genesis, Joseph was single. The prophet Jeremiah was single. Nehemiah was single. Jesus was single. We've already said Paul was single. John Stott, one of evangelicalism's greatest leaders in the 20th century, was single. John Stott said, "We should not ask what is wrong with the world, for that diagnosis has already been given. Rather, we should ask what has happened to salt and light." If you were alive at that time, you might remember something called the Luzon Covenant or Commitment. It was a program about world evangelization. And John Stott, a Brit, an Englishman, tremendous commitment to the developing world and bringing academic resources into pastors' lives in Asia and Africa and Latin America. Tremendous, fruitful life. A single man serving the Lord. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a writer, a professor, a pastor. He courageously led resistance to Hitler's Nazi Germany from inside Germany to the place that he was actually arrested and placed into a concentration camp and died a martyr's death. 37 years as a bachelor before he became engaged and then was killed before he could marry. Bonhoeffer would say, "The essence of celibacy, the essence of chastity, is not the suppressing of lust, but the total orientation of one's life toward a goal. It's not doing without, it's doing with, it's doing for. Celibacy or singleness is not about detachment, it's about the profound engagement in the cause of Christ." Paul writes, "Hey, are you pledged to a woman? Are you betrothed in the language of that day? Are you engaged in our language today?" He says, "Do not seek to be released." He says, "Go ahead and get married." Paul is pro-marriage. That's what he's been talking about as we worked our way up to this point through 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But then he says, "Are you free from such a commitment? Are you not betrothed? Are you not engaged? Are you not in a committed relationship? Do not look for a wife." He's saying, it's okay to be single. He's saying, singleness is not second best. Singles are not second class citizens in the church of Jesus Christ. There are very godly people that are single. And God uses and gifts singleness. We sometimes hear people say, newly married especially, "My spouse is such a gift." Singleness is a gift. It's a gift which allows some people to devote their lives to Christ in a special way. Humanly, we tend to think of singleness in terms of absence, like you're single because you don't have a spouse. It's a lack. It's an absence. The biblical perspective is that singleness is all about presence. It's about a greater opportunity to experience the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. In a way, it's a simpler life. It's a freer life. It's a more flexible life. Some of us will be single and then we'll be married, and I think we will have better marriages if we have better engagement with singleness. So don't rush it. Someone on our pastoral staff has a single friend in another state, and we began to communicate about this this week, and I'll call this friend in the other state Jenny. Jenny's 35. She lives alone. She's never had a boyfriend. She'd like to be married. She says some days she longs for companionship and conversation, but she's learning to depend on God. She says, "For right now, it's just me and Jesus," and she's inviting Jesus into her life to change her heart, to disciple, to develop her life. She's devoted to her parents and to her sister, to her nieces and nephews. She's a full-time Bible school student. She mentors a group of young women in her church, and she's making plans to serve God as a missionary in Japan. She is kicking it with singleness. She's not just waiting around for something to happen. She's not a victim. She's not complaining. She's faithful to God in the situation she's in. Paul writes, check this out for a memory verse. "Those who marry will face many troubles in this life." Anybody want to memorize that one this week? I thought someone would say amen, you know, like, yeah, oh gosh. And Paul says, I want to spare you this. Do you ever find times you read the Bible and you go, what? If you're reading the Bible and you're going, what? You should slow down. You should sit down. You should think about that. You should think about who could need an adjustment. You or the Bible. There's stuff to figure out when we go, what? Marriage is not easy. Marriage takes work. I am pro-marriage. Marriage is God's design. Paul is pro-marriage. But it's not at the exclusion of singleness. And it's not a blind favor. Paul's going to reorient everyone, singles and marrieds, right now. He says, time is short. If we can see the next slide. The time is short. We all live in the end. People will sometimes ask me, hey, Derek, you're a pastor. Are we living in the end times? Like, do you think we're living? We have been living in the end times for 2,000 years since Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus' return is imminent, which means Jesus could return bodily to earth at any time. That is the message of the scriptures. Time is short. And because of that, our social status, whether we're married or have a family or single, that stuff pales in comparison. And so there's a way that we should live, a certain detachment from the concerns of this life because of the imminent return of Christ. Check out what Paul says. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Try that with your wife, huh? It's in the Bible, sweetheart. Those who mourn as if they did not. Why? Ask yourself. Those who are happy as if they were not. Why? Those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. Why? For this world in its present form is passing away. You will not be single. You will not be married forever. Time is short. Paul is saying, keep perspective. Don't let this world run away with you. Don't be controlled by your circumstances. Don't get swallowed up in your calendar. Get swallowed up by eternity and where you'll be forever. Don't be controlled by your circumstances because they're all passing away. Would you look at your neighbor and say, this is for you? Just look at your neighbor and say, this is for you. Friends, we are to live out our lives, whether we are married or not, with a certain focus. Time is short. Look at your neighbor again and just tell him, your time is short. Amen. Friends, here's the point. We are to live as if not lives. As if not lives that are not determined by our social status, our circumstance, but determined by eternity. Whether you're single or married, grieving or rejoicing, live for the Lord because this world is not our home. One of the reasons I'm so excited to talk about this passage is that historically, this very passage has caused people stress. They come across it, and we come across it in our devotional lives, or we just run into it and we read it and we say, oh my gosh, I wanted to get married. What if I'm gifted with singleness? It's like the gift I don't want. And people begin to worry about that. And that's so ironic because Paul wrote as an inspired author with great empathy for people. I would like you to be free from concern, he says. Would you like less worry? Would you like less anxiety? He writes, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. That's the purpose of singleness. So don't if you're single, don't squander it. Don't idolize it. Don't miss the purpose in it. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of his world, of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. That is true. Marriage means additional commitments and obligations. Marriage will not make your life simpler or easier. my friend, my college friend, the path that God led him on, he became a professor and he teaches at a large university in the Midwest. And he's single, as I said. So he has a home and he actually has Christian students live with him. So, they're there for a number of years and so while they go through school and then they go on in their way. And that's part of his ministry. So he has spent a lot of time thinking about singleness and seeing a lot of single adult Christians in his life. And he told me he just thinks that married people are just so much more accountable. He said, if you're married, there's someone in your bed, there's someone in your kitchen, there's someone in your finances. You know, singles have so much more flexibility. Paul says, I'm saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord, which is what makes singleness so valuable. Friends, my concern as a pastor is I think sometimes our church and sometimes other churches, with the highest of intentions and the best of hopes, sometimes because there's divorce is a threat or marriages are in crisis, we really emphasize marriage and family, and we should, and I benefit from that. I'm in that category. But friends, there's something about singleness that God wants to use in our lives. Let's not be afraid of singleness. God can be as active in our lives in that stage as in any. And in fact, some people are gifted with it for all of their lives. And that is something we need to respect as from the Lord. It's not second class. It's not second best. It's God's best for some people. And it's God's best for many of us for a season. So don't rush through it. Get all you can from the Lord in it. If you do marry, your marriage will be that much better. Churches have struggled with this even at sort of leadership levels. There are churches in our culture and around the world that have insisted that their spiritual leaders be single and celibate, even though it is obvious that not all their spiritual leaders are called, gifted, or able to be single and celibate. And that has caused no end of hurt and trouble. There are other church groups that will not hire a pastor who is single because they seem to view marriage as a requirement for ministry. But that would be news to Jesus and Paul. And when that happens in a church, it can lead to subtly communicating that marriage and family are the focus of Christianity. They're not. Living with the Spirit of Jesus in you in any situation is the focus of Christianity. In our church today, we have any number of kinds of singles. We have people in Sunrise today that I would call circumstantial singles. Maybe they were not always single. They're single now. They may not always be single. Singleness in some ways may have happened to them. They may have been abandoned. They may have been a death. There may have been a divorce. And it may take all the courage in the world for them to simply get in this room with you and me when they have such keen memories of the life they had with their spouse. And they're still grieving. And everything about this place reminds them of a prior life, a prior relationship that they had that has gone away and isn't coming back. We have a number of widows and widowers in our church. I can't tell you how many people I have gotten to know deeply, not on this campus, but in a hospital room, around a bed, holding hands and reading scripture out loud and singing hymns and watching a loved spouse make the transition from this life to heaven. And getting to know family members and walking through grief and planning and holding memorial services. Friends, for those people, we are in many ways their family. And to view singleness as second best, not at all. Not at all. There are other people who make a vow of celibacy, of singleness to the Lord. They choose singleness as a way to prioritize their relationship with God. That kind of devoted singleness is worthy of all of our respect. Singles are to be loved and cherished, and we in many ways are their family. It can be a calling from Christ. It was for Paul, it was for John Stott, and it may be for someone you know. I am so grateful for Mark Harris, our new young adult ministry director. He and Heather and their girls joining our church just recently. Can we praise the Lord for them? Leading our ministry in Rooted, and then we have the family room on Wednesday nights during the school year, and Solo Connection. Awesome places for singles to connect, but here's the takeaway. Here's the real story for you and me. Every single class, every single life group, every single service, every single short-term mission trip is an awesome place for singles to connect with marrieds and marrieds to connect with singles. It isn't the case at Sunrise that we want all the singles in this corner to kind of do their thing and we'll have the rest of the church over here. Singles are as much a part of this church as anybody else is. We are one family, single and married. What makes people truly human is not a spouse in your life, it's Christ in your life. And singleness is a great spot from which to serve God. If you're a single, don't fritter away your singleness. Use it to volunteer here at Sunrise. Use it to mentor others. Go on short-term mission trips. Go on short-term missions where you actually pick up stuff and move away for months or maybe a couple years serving the cause of Christ because you can, because you have that flexibility. The next moment, we're going to land the plane on this single or married series. But I don't want to do that before saying this. There's a corollary here. There are some people in our church who are married, and they don't have kids. They may not want to have kids or may be unable to have kids. Every time that there's a Mother's Day celebration, there are committed women who are not moms. There are every Father's Day devoted men who are not dads. Let's be sure we don't overlook them. Let's meet them where they are and bless them with our friendship and faith. Well, as I was preparing this message, I came across an idea that I just wanted to share with you. And it's just really a simple reminder. Whether you are married or single, you're going to have a very special experience in heaven. We know from Scripture that we don't marry in heaven. We don't have husbands and wives in heaven. Just look straight ahead right now if you're married. Don't have to make a comment. So we're not going to be married in heaven, but we're not going to be exactly single either. In heaven, you will experience being married to God through Christ. All of your life, you have been prepared for the best and most satisfying, deepest relationship of your life, which is actually with God. All our lives are about a deepening connection to Him. Our faith will become sight in heaven. Revelation chapter 19, John gives us a glimpse of a vision saying, I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. But why? For the wedding of the Lamb has come. And His bride has made herself ready. Friends, the bride is you and me. Paul calls the church the bride of Christ. Whether you are already married or never married, there is a wedding in your future, let me tell you. The angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. This side of heaven, we call it salvation. This side of heaven, it results in the church. But it culminates in heaven. There's a sense of intimacy, of knowing God and being known by God that awaits you. So my single friend, you are complete in Christ. Do not compare yourself to a married person. There's a lot of work behind doors for married people. And don't make an idol of your freedom. Use it to serve. It's a gift, and you're a gift to the church. My married friend, you're complete in Christ. Don't disparage a believer who's single. Don't idolize your spouse. She's not that hot. He's not that smart. He's not that funny. You want to live an as-if-not life focused on eternity. Parents, don't idolize your kids. They're not that cute. They're not that athletic, and they're not that smart. You want to live an as-if-not life. Not caught up with the circumstances of today. A wedding vow does not increase your value. Neither does being a mom or being a dad. Whether you are single or married, parenting or empty nesting, let's be people who live as if not, putting Christ first in all we do and awaiting the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we love you and we love so many blessings that you give into our lives, including our spouses and our children, our friends, our singleness. Lord, help us embrace the things that you give and to see your purpose in it. Father, I pray that no single would ever feel that they are a second-class citizen at Sunrise. Lord, I pray that you would help marrieds to know singles and singles to know marrieds. That we would agree that our social status is so secondary compared to our high and holy calling as your people. Lord, I pray that Sunrise would always be a place where everyone's welcome, where everyone can meet you, where everyone can serve you. God, I pray that you would bless singles and those you've destined for marriage, that they would learn so much in that stage. Lord, I pray that you would prosper marriages and make them strong and resilient and life-giving. Thank you for the beautiful bride that you are making at Sunrise. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.